Well, hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Greenhouse Podcast. Once again, this is Jordan Green, and I am your host, and this is episode 15, titled Improve Your Life with Scott Szymanski. Scott had a lot to say in this episode, so I really hope you enjoy as we talk about nothing with people who have something to say.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street, yes. Here we go. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Greenhouse Podcast. I am your host, Jordan Green, and welcome to episode 15. We finally made it to the 15th episode. That is something else. I'm kind of surprised because our sponsors, they've all left us. They've all kind of pitched tents in the front of our studios, and they're protesting now. We don't even know what to do. We have no idea what to do now. So this time we decided instead of just putting on a normal guest, we'd have someone very unique, someone very different. And his name is Scott Szymanski. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Welcome to the house, Scott.
Hello.
Welcome to the house.
Glad to be here. Glad to be in my own house. I've only been here a few times. Every experience has been memorable, though.
Oh, really? It's been one of those experiences.
Always. There's always a maintenance request that has to be put in, and I remember the trials and tribulations.
Well, you know, fun fact, every single house that we do the show in becomes the greenhouse studio.
Oh.
The studio is everywhere.
So it's like a Columbus thing.
It is.
You come in and you take it over, and now it's a greenhouse studio, and
exactly.
There's no say in the matter.
Exactly.
I like it. At least you're consistent.
Thank you. Well, speaking of consistency, every time we always like to let our guests know that we have a website. But this is not really, I'm not really telling you, I'm trying to tell our listeners really. The website is thegreenhousepodcast.com, and you could visit there to not only to subscribe through iTunes, but also to just listen to it if you don't want to subscribe. Some people don't like subscribing to things.
I don't get it.
I don't understand. In fact, I go out of my way to get on those mailing lists for actual physical mail. I feel like it's something that's kind of been lost in this day and time.
You're right. The great thing about that is that junk mail becomes personalized,
yeah.
And it's now your mail instead of just junk mail put in by
some
person.
Yeah, it's got my name on it. I love that.
Exactly. Rather than resident at this address.
Right. I like to subscribe to mail, to podcasts, to anything. So hopefully, if you're out there listening, you've subscribed because I think it's something that's kind of a lost thing in this world, and I think it's a good thing to keep going.
Absolutely.
I would agree. So Scott, it's a real pleasure having you on. Fun fact about Scott, we used to work together. We used to dream together. We used to go on picnics together.
Unfortunately.
So it's a real pleasure to have you back on the show. You know, the vision for the show is not just to have my friends on, but to also have people who I just recently met or found on the streets. You are neither. but it's a good start. And it's a good start. And I feel like you're an interesting person, Scott.
Well, I would be a little biased if I said I was. So I'll say that you may be at least 50% correct.
Okay, 50%. 50% correct. Well, I remember the first time I talked to you, we were sitting there in a Wendy's parking lot, and we had just met.
We were doing a sort of deal that you do in the back of Wendy's parking lots.
Everybody knows about these deals. And we were sitting there. We had a conversation about sculptures, about ice sculptures specifically. And what was it you said? It just blew my mind. I said, this man is an interesting man.
I said that without ice sculptures, there would be no humanity.
I remember that. And didn't you yodel it?
It was partially a yodel and partially throat singing.
You're right.
I've been practicing at the conservatory for throat singing studies.
Well done. You've been doing great. How have you been doing, Scott? You know, it's been a while since I've seen you, and I'm glad that glad we got this opportunity to talk on the show about your life, about what's been new for you. What is new for you? What are your goals and your dreams?
Well, my dreams are fairly arbitrary, and I forget most of them when I wake up.
Arbitrary. That is an exciting word.
It is, isn't it?
It's got many syllables.
Yeah.
Arbitrary.
Does that excite you? Many syllables?
It does. These are the things, you know, my life is a little slow lately. Arbitrary. It reminds me of archery.
Yeah, you could have arbitrary archery, meaning you just do archery for no real reason at all and at random times
of the day.
Yeah, with no goal, aimlessly. You're just firing arrows in directions.
I've actually done that before.
I believe it.
I hospitalized three women.
Those poor women. Or are they lucky because they got to meet you?
Yeah, in fact, they're listening to the show right now.
That's fantastic. Is that court ordered that they have to listen to this?
Yes.
Is this part of your parole?
They had to. Well, I heard that, you know, you used to do writing, a lot of writing. Do you still do that, Scott?
I do it on occasion, not as often as I would like. Mm-hmm. A lot of my time is taken up by work, which technically I do a lot of writing for that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the answer could be yes.
You're in PI, isn't that correct? Or NR?
I work in public relations.
In public relations.
So PR. I do not work for NPR.
You know, I get that confused sometimes.
It makes complete sense.
All these little abbreviations like BRB, FBI, LOL. It confuses me.
Well, you shouldn't see our industry then. Our industry is full of acronyms.
CR interesting? Our industry?
Yes.
CR. What does the CR stand for?
CR stands for come read our industry. Because most of the time you're speaking in acronyms and you have to read it to understand what's actually happening.
Yeah. What is your books mostly, your writing mostly about? Do you write fiction or do you write factual things?
I prefer nonfiction. So creative nonfiction has been one of my favorite things to write. So short stories.
About yourself?
No.
Okay.
About other characters.
About other characters.
My life's just too interesting. I can't put it in a paper.
You can't put it into paper. It almost has to be a movie.
Yeah, and not even just one. It's got to be like a Godfather series. Each movie is 4 hours.
Two. Yeah.
There's five parts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or but Lord of the Rings style.
Yes, exactly. Epic with the music.
Wow.
The budget.
I can see that.
All of that. One day.
One day.
But until then, creative nonfiction, poetry, and just putting that together based on what I see or what I know or typically experiences and interpreting them differently. And
yeah. Well, I know you've had a few experiences lately. You went to, you went on a big hike.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I
love hiking.
I went up to Canada. And we visited four parks. Yes.
Hey.
It's a lot of that. It was near.
Was there though? I'm always wondering, do they say a lot?
It depends on what part of Canada.
For so any listeners out there from Canada, write us an email. greenhousepodcast@icloud.com. Let us know what, if you heard this podcast and said, hey,
if that was your reaction, we want to know.
We want to know. No, but you heard that a lot. Because you were hiking out there.
Right.
What did you hike?
We went to Banff, Yoho, Peter Lougheed, and Mount Assiniboine Provincial Park.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so we did some hikes in all of them.
100 miles, right?
100 miles.
Wow.
Everything was in kilometers, so it sounded more impressive when we talked how many kilometers we did.
Did you go to like the info desk and say, hey, what's the best hike to go on? And then you just did it?
No, we did our research before we left.
Really?
Found a lot of hikes, reserved a lot of campsites.
Really? Oh, what is that?
That is my air conditioner. It's a little loud, I guess. It's like the monster in the closet over there.
Like, what is that noise coming from the corner? You know, the listeners might not even be able to hear it.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Sorry, as you were saying, had to do the math in kilometers.
Yes.
Converting over to miles.
Yeah, which I am not willing to do here.
All right, cool. So we'll just skip that part.
But everything, you know, kilometers and meters. And it was interesting to measure things in meters, like how tall was a mountain? Oh, you know, 3,000 meters. Well, that's huge compared to a foot.
Yeah.
So it's not even something that's nearly equitable. Like
listeners
like
can't
a mile,
tell. He's holding his arms out like across the room. Yeah.
So it
was this always a hobby of yours to convert numbers before going on a hike? Is it a hobby of yours?
It's something that I keep up with on a regular basis. I convert numbers to languages.
Yeah.
I create ciphers to interpret numbers into Sanskrit.
Yeah.
And then I write my poetry in Sanskrit.
On, not on paper.
On stone tablets.
Stone tablets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As expected.
It's difficult when you make a mistake. You basically just have to chip out that entire piece of stone and start over. It's the original whiteout.
I could not do it. I have a lot of respect for that. A lot of respect for that.
It's a tough industry.
Do you use like a chisel?
I typically will use my fingernails.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you have to use like your...
I have a lot of calcium.
Grow them out.
I drink a lot of milk.
Okay. Yeah, I drink more almond milk than milk these days. Would it have the same effect?
No, you would probably break a finger.
Okay.
Which, you know, if you do that, make sure to film it, because I'd be really interested to watch you break a finger.
Yeah.
Trying to write Sanskrit on tablets.
Very good point.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Maybe we should turn off the air.
Okay.
Okay. I think I'm hearing it now.
I can hear it. We don't really want a bunch of static in there. That's true. Want to play it back and see if you can hear it?
Nah, it's all right.
All right.
As long as people can hear our voices, that's what matters.
As long as they can hear us.
Oh, there it goes. It turned off.
There it is.
Scott, you sound great over there.
Thanks. You sound subpar, but...
Well, you know, same old, same old.
We can work with it.
We can work with it. So, Scott, where do you live? Because our listeners, they're always interested in knowing that our guests are from Georgia. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Snellville.
Snellville, Georgia.
Uh-huh. And then I grew up in Duluth, and then I moved to...
Wisconsin.
It was almost that far. It was Flowery Branch.
Flowery Branch. Wow.
And then to...
That's where my library is.
Really?
I go all the way to Flowery Branch for my library.
What sort of books are in that library?
Flowery ones.
Yeah?
And that's why I go.
Are they covered in pollen?
Yep. Yep. Gives me allergies every time.
Worth it, though.
Worth it. Definitely worth it. Were you born in Lawrenceville? Where were
Snellville?
You from? Snellville.
No, it's okay. You don't have to be an active listener.
They both had Ville in it, okay?
You're right, yeah.
Were you born in Snellville?
I was born in a hospital that was not in Snellville, so technically no. But okay. I grew up in Snellville until fourth grade.
But no, now you got here, though. You're living here in, where are we right now?
Dunwoody. It's a good area.
You like it?
It's okay.
It's close to work. What do you want to live here forever? Do you have visions to live in Canada one day?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I would like to live someplace where I can have a system just around me, like a culture or a location that's multilingual. So I could have a child who learns two languages growing up.
Well, that would be something.
Yeah. I think it'd be helpful. Well, it has been shown to be helpful to know multiple languages as far as your cognitive processing overall. But how cool would it be to have two languages that you can use on a regular basis?
I agree. What if you lived in a computer and that way you have every language all around you? Have you thought about this?
You know, I've thought about it, and then I've seen movies about that with Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
And I decided I don't really want to be Robert Downey Jr.
What movie was that?
You know what I'm talking about?
I feel like I do.
I don't know the name.
What is the name of that movie?
Where he uploaded his consciousness.
Was that Robert Downey Jr.? I thought it was the other guy.
Denzel Washington?
The guy that played in Pirates.
Oh, Johnny Depp?
Was it Johnny Depp?
I don't know.
It's a white guy with dark hair. Newer movie, right? Newer movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. But no, I was kind of curious if you would actually live not in a computer, but with a computer surrounding you. You know those big computers you used to have?
So basically live in a data center is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes.
Doesn't that sound hospitable?
It does to me. I feel like it, at least when I'm visualized, your family living there.
You have a little cot in the back, the storage closet.
Yeah. Yeah, we work a little hammock. Yeah.
Data center, have the kids running around.
They know every language.
Pulling out the cables.
Why would they be pulling out the cables?
They're kids in a data center.
Do you think kids do that in data centers?
If you were, right now, Jordan, at your age, and you were released into a data center with all of the server bays open.
I am a child at heart.
Thousands of cables. And they said, do whatever you want. It's not going to affect free. Anything.
Be free and go. I think I would pull out some cables.
There you go.
There we go. The answer is there.
We're all children. We're all children at heart.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I think that's an important point because I think a lot of our, I mean, this is getting to a more of a serious topic.
No, this is good.
A lot of our emotional well-being stems from the way that we learned how to handle and approach our emotions as children. And so a lot of times, the struggles that we have as a kid with dealing with different kinds of emotions or the ways that we interact with them carry over into being an adult.
Right.
And so adults can have all of these problems that affect parts of their life that they didn't even know would be affected.
Wow.
They could have problems processing jealousy, for instance, and they have a difficulty holding down the job and, you know, they have no idea why. And it's something that's so deeply seated in them. Same thing with our emotional needs. So our needs for intimacy is similar to the way that we related to our parents.
Right, right.
So if someone had distant parents, it may be more difficult to communicate emotions overall.
And this is why if you're sitting in one of those with a psychiatrist or therapist, they tend to ask you about your mom or your father.
Well, you learn how to process emotions based on your relationship
with
your family, typically. Whoever you actually grew up with.
I always thought the therapist was just trying to ask those key questions to figure out my password to my bank account. Like, who was your mother's maiden name?
What was your first childhood pet?
Yeah.
What does this have to do?
Just tell me.
Okay, if that doesn't work, what was your first make and model of your car?
They ask you these specific questions, and you think it's just because they're trying to help you with your emotional state. But in reality, they're just trying to get into your
Kroger Plus account.
Kroger Plus. They want to get that milk 20% off.
They're so sneaky.
They are sneaky. I'm telling you, man.
Unbelievable.
I'm firing my therapist. No, she's a golden retriever. I don't know if I have the heart for it because, you know, she was a, what do they call them? A homeless dog?
Rescue?
A rescue. Yeah. I don't know if I have the heart. You know, because, you know, when she takes her notes during the therapist session.
With her paws.
With her paws. She has two paws. But there's two big buttons, you know.
And one gives her food and the other one doesn't. And she just seems to always hit the one that gives her food. I don't know why.
It's a struggle.
There is something else I wanted to say.
Let's hear it. Because this is the show where we talk about nothing with people who have something to say. So I'm kind of curious.
So one topic that's always interests me is death.
Yes. So we turn. Okay. So death, you know, death, where there's death, there's life. That's what they say. That's what my uncle always said. Of course, now he's in prison.
Well, so then he's going to live a long life or have a very quick death.
We'll see. They started talking about the electric chair. So kind of curious.
That's fun.
Yeah. So death, it's an interesting topic. Why is that something that you have to say? What do you have to say about death?
Well,
and why?
I think it's interesting because
a lot of people don't like thinking about death, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a difficult subject to talk about. And it's difficult to admit that we have a finite life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Regardless of what happens after this life, we still have to die to get there if there's anywhere.
Either way.
Right. Yeah. And so it's still, at minimum, a transformational period that we have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulty, I think, with facing mortality is not knowing what's on the other side or what's actually going to happen or what's death like. One of my favorite philosophers, Martin Heidegger, once said, the German philosophers love to talk about things like death.
Yeah.
They love getting under the skin and talking about the heavy subjects. And so he wrote an entire essay on death, and I believe it was called On Death.
It's On Death.
Yeah.
So what's your book about? Well, it's On Death. What's it called? On Death. No.
Is there a name?
Is there a name?
That's the name.
That's the name.
If you don't like it, you could go what the title is telling you about.
Now, was he in a state where he was dying, where he knew he was dying? I mean, because we're all dying. But did he know he was dying sooner than normal, or did he have a specific date that he knew he was dying?
You mean, did he speak with a soothsayer and figure out a particular date in the future that he would die?
Did he talk to somebody who knew the future? No, like, you know, some people, they tend to write books or blogs, especially when they have cancer or different diseases that they know they're dying. You might not know, but was this person in that state?
No.
No.
But he thought it was an essential part of life.
Important.
Yeah. Because really, in reality, it is an essential part of life. Think about it like the rest of the world, like seasons.
Yeah.
There's always a renewal. There's a flourishing. There's a withering away. And then there's death. And then it comes back to renewal. Yeah. The entire cycle of life, decomposition, and all of that, it goes through this cycle over and over and over again. And so expecting humanity to live and live and live and just prolong that constantly removes us from our actual humanity and removes us from the nature around us that shows that that's not the cycle.
This is something you've been thinking a lot about lately.
Yeah, I had a friend at work who was talking about today's a great day to be alive, and you know, death is something I don't want to think about, and it was just like a gut reaction aversion to it.
Yeah.
And I think you can't have one without the other. It's like you can't have inside without outside.
Sure.
You can't have a one-sided coin. There's always two sides that create the whole.
Exactly.
And so there's no such thing as life without that life withering away, at least on this planet, or at least in this plane of existence.
That's pretty good advice, actually. To be honest, when I think about the different people, you know, people come up to me a lot of time and they say, you know, Jordan, you have an interesting perspective on life. You know, you're super positive. You seem to really happy about different situations. And I feel like it's because, believe it or not, this subject has come up a lot with me and my friends, is the subject of death and the life that we live and how short it seems. And what are you going to do with your life, you know, since you know that it is ending? Honestly, I think you can live a more full life, a more exciting life, a more happy life. And I think happiness is perspective, honestly. But you can feel better about the day that you live and the impact you've made if you do think about these things, if you do think about the fact that you're not going to be here forever.
That's right. And knowing that you're mortal means that risks typically are not as scary as you thought they were.
Mm.
You know, asking somebody out on a date is not literally going to be the end of your life.
Yeah.
And you'll move on.
Yeah.
And having that emotional experience and that challenge will help you grow and make the most use of that time.
That is a good point.
We actually, I'm one of the organizers of a group called Sunday Assembly.
Sunday Assembly. Oh, is there Atlanta. A website? You can put that website.
There is. Like. SundayAssemblyAtlanta.org.
Love it. Love it.
Free plug.
Free plug.
I'm sure you'll ask me for $5 later.
Yeah, I will.
But
you guys get together pretty often? Have good conversations?
We have a lot of different
perspectives.
Activities. A lot of perspectives as well.
Good.
Of our members. So it's a secular congregation.
Yeah.
Without any established deity, dogma, or doctrine.
Yeah, I've seen it on Facebook. There must be a Facebook page or something like that.
Yeah, it's actually worldwide. So it started in London a couple years ago.
If it started in London, it's got to be good.
You know it.
I think McDonald's started there.
I think you're partially right that it started on a continent. Yes.
Okay.
With people.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you go there and you have conversations similar to this one?
Well, we have different activities. So we have Wonder Club, which is more like a philosophy club.
Yeah.
We have multiple book clubs over all kinds of books.
Yeah.
And we also have other activities, including our actual assembly, which is most similar to church.
Nice.
In that we congregate together. It's once a month right now.
Yeah.
And we have a theme, and we have different...
A theme song or a theme?
A theme.
Okay.
So I wish we had a theme song. That'll come down
one.
The road.
Everybody sings the same theme song at once and holds hands.
Yes. There is hand-holding.
Good. Good.
If you want.
It's optional.
It's optional, but highly encouraged. Dancing is also optional.
So should we stop holding hands now?
No, I'm not ready yet.
Okay, cool. We'll keep holding hands.
So one of our themes that we had at assembly one time was death.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So this was last year. This was around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Which we thought was a great time to talk about death, because if we're going to be talking about giving thanks,
and you're thankful for the life that you are living.
Right. Thankful to be alive and to have the people in your life that make your life worthwhile.
And also thankful that it ends eventually.
Yeah.
Because without death, there isn't life.
Right. And things tend to have more value, when they aren't forever, when they're finite.
That's true. Gosh, that is really good.
So
I like that perspective.
It's healthy because it matches with reality, which is one of the first things that's helpful to know, that you're limited by the world and you have to obey its laws. You can't fight gravity win in most cases.
Can you, though?
It depends. Depends on what kind of drugs you take.
Or what kind of car you're in.
You're right.
Those flying cars, anti-gravity cars.
You're right. They do absolutely.
They exist in a parallel world. I believe it.
I think so.
It's going to happen.
It'll have that world. We'll cross this world.
So besides that.
So we had our theme on death, and we brought in a hospice chaplain.
Oh, not a puppet.
We're not showing children how to talk about death through puppets.
Got it.
But there were children there.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was excellent.
Good.
Because a lot of times we try and hide children from harsh realities. And we tried to reframe death as not harsh.
Sure.
It's just part of existence. And we all will have to face it. And it helps, in general, children cope with the death of a grandmother or something like that, because they're not having fantasies about where did grandma go and what did she do?
Right.
And why isn't she here anymore? And now those questions are more easily encountered and answered by saying, you know, grandma died and she has moved on.
Yeah, she knew she was going to die.
Right. She's a human like anybody else.
Yeah.
And it helps children not think that grandma is still out there somewhere waiting on them.
Yeah.
Depending on your beliefs. But in general, what we know.
Kind of like when your cat dies, it's just the cat's in cat land.
Right. But
grandma's in grandma land.
But that
chilly
leaves
with all the grandmas.
That leaves it open-ended. And so
it's not good.
The whole time the children may hope that grandma will come back or something, because it's open-ended, and instead treating death as a final moment, no matter what happens afterward, whether it is the end or there is some sort of afterlife or reincarnation or whatever anyone believes,
sure,
it's still a point where this life is over.
Right.
And she's dead, but we have her memories and we have all of these great things that she's done, and celebrating her life is more important than mourning her death consistently over and over and over again. Mourning is an important process to healing.
Yeah.
And so getting through that mourning process together and then celebrating afterward.
Did you know that Facebook's doing this thing when someone dies, like grandma or your friend, if you designated a person to be, I guess, the after death person, they can actually have access to your Facebook and utilize that to create like a whole life story presentation for the funeral or whatever, and be able to update people and deactivate the account, all that stuff. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I think it's very interesting.
How do you designate that person?
It's in the settings right now. Like, you can go to Facebook and you can designate a specific person. Like, I've got a good friend of mine, he's on there, and vice versa.
Nice.
Super convenient. I think it's interesting because I think it's interesting how Facebook approached the situation. They said, you know, hey, this is something that happens often, and for legal reasons, it'd be good to have a specific person that you feel like might not be dying at the same time as you.
Yeah,
and they can actually take over your Facebook, and you know, if they wanted to, they could update status update for you while you're dead. You live on through Facebook, so you never really die.
It's a little creepy.
That is creepy, isn't it?
But it's kind of cool. I'm communicating with the dead person. What's John Edwards going to do now?
What's he going to do now?
I have direct communication. I don't need you, medium.
Yeah. You know, it'd be interesting as you start taking photos and uploading them, like photos that never got uploaded.
Yeah. Where did these come from?
Why is he at Burger World? That'd be super interesting. No, I just thought that was an interesting fact, is that even Facebook kind of takes ownership of the fact that people die. But their memories can actually have an impact on others. And so have somebody link to your account so that way they can get into there and show off all the stories that person had to have and had to share.
And since a lot of people keep their lives on Facebook.
Yeah.
People upload so many pictures and they have all these things that are connected to who they are.
You could create like a whole movie out of it. It's crazy.
You can save it all now. You know, you if nothing else, you can go in and do that Facebook functionality where you can download all of
every single
your stuff.
Yeah. Every single photo, timeline update. Yeah.
Right.
That's pretty interesting.
So it makes complete sense to me.
What was one more thing you had to say?
Something I think that I've found useful in life is improv.
Improv.
Yeah.
You know, that's actually one of our next sections.
Oh, perfect.
We're going to be doing a little improv today. Did you know that, we did that on the show?
I believe it was mentioned to me
once or twice. But I heard you do a little improv yourself pretty frequently. This was just talking to a friend of mine, that's a mutual friend of ours. Yeah. You know, so Scott does improv.
So entirely anecdotal.
Yeah, exactly.
No proof.
What is it that you do?
Well,
and
I go
on. Is it your
on,
job or is it for fun?
Just for fun.
Nice.
It's something that I got into about...
6 months ago?
No, maybe 9 months ago.
9 months. That was close.
Almost a year. Nice. Let's call it a year.
Okay.
It sounds more impressive. So 9 months to a year ago... I found it at the UUCA, Unitarian Universalist Church here in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
And so they have adult classes, which when I heard adult classes, I was disappointed to find
so
that they were not the kind of classes I was looking for.
You open the door, and you're ready to walk into this adult class, and everybody looks at you.
And
you say,
I'm there.
Am I in the right place?
I had my bathrobe on and everything. And I was thinking, well, where's the bed? Like, what are we doing here?
Where are the cameras? Where do we start?
If nobody has one, I brought my own.
So you said, explain to me what's going on, and you found a new surprise.
I did. I found that it was funny and comedic and entertaining and skill building all
and
at the same time.
And challenging,
Good. It was really tough. I never thought I'd be able to do it.
Are there props involved in this improv? Is there an audience?
Sometimes there's an audience. Obviously, when you're practicing, your audience are the other members of the improv group.
So it's an actual class.
Yeah. So they taught it, and they're going to start it back up in the fall. So if anyone's interested, it's totally free.
Yeah, I might be interested.
It's down here in Atlanta. So it's off of North Druid Hills at
North
the UUCA.
Druid,
yeah,
right off 85.
Yep. Nice. And it's like 2 hours a week. Right. I think it's going to be on a Thursday. But
they teach you improv skills.
Yeah. It's by two people who have taught improv for a while and who have
awesome.
Done it for years. And so it really got me interested. I'm now signed up for more classes at High Wire Comedy.
Yeah.
Which is down in Scottsdale, Georgia.
Yeah.
Off of North Decatur. So that's, more professional training. And so I'm looking forward to that because there's a little bit more of a goal there. Whereas some of the people who go to the UU improv, they're there to build their skills of public speaking or get out of their shell or have something else to do that's really active one night a week. And so some of them are interested in pursuing it professionally or pursuing it as a practice, and some are just doing it to build up their skills.
Yeah.
Which actually was the reason I got into it. And then I realized how much fun it is.
It is fun. You know, that's kind of what I feel like it's the groundwork for this show in a way, because one of my passions is being coming up with stories and on the spot and just have conversations that might be a little silly and random, but you tend to get something out of it. You learn, you have fun, and it's entertaining. And that's why every show we have a little sketch of improv that we do. Do you want to do that now?
Let's do it.
I think it's a perfect time for it. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call the improv section to our show.
That's a very original name.
It is, isn't it? Let's all improv. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, if you are just joining us for this this episode, then you are in for a little treat. This is the section of the show where I throw my guest, in this case, Scott Szymanski, or as Siri would call you, Scott Szymanski.
Either or.
He's going to be in the situation where I give him a little groundwork, little four walls, as you will, to stay within. And we just have a conversation as those characters. How do you feel about this?
I am feeling excited.
You might have a little bit more practice in this than me. But, you know, that's why I do the show, is I'm getting practice too. I think it's a lot of fun.
Good.
It might be entertaining for the listeners. So here's our situation. We're both school administrators.
Okay.
Okay. And we have caught the school's worst rule-breaking student.
Uh-oh.
The worst. Like, he's broken every rule. Okay? And we caught him together because we're a team.
Bobby now, Johnson.
That Bobby kid. Johnson. Bobby. Bobby, Bobby, Bobby.
Man.
I tell you. So, Scott, we both have to get him back on track because the question is, will we get through to him? Right? And he doesn't respond much. Actually, not at all, because there's no one here. So he's not going to say anything at all the entire time. The scene starts right before we walk into the room, the interrogation room, is what we'll call it,
mm-hmm.
where Bobby, we've caught him. He's under handcuffs for some reason.
He is chained to the desk.
He's chained to the desk.
He's already been roughed up a little bit by the intern.
Exactly. So we're gonna start off there. How do you feel?
I'm feeling good. Let's I'm ready to bring down the justice of the student handbook on this kid.
This school has had it with this kid. All right, here we go. All right, Scott, well, how's it going, man?
I'm feeling
pumped. Good. I'm glad we caught this guy. It's been 17 years. I mean, what is his name? Is Bobby?
Yeah, Bobby. Yeah, Bobby Johnson.
He broke into the school lab last week. He killed that cat. I mean, he killed a cat.
Yeah, Mr. Muffins has lived in that lab for at least 2 years.
2 years, yeah. And he got fat, but we loved that cat.
Oh, yeah, that's why he got fat.
We gave him all our love.
And muffins.
I don't even know why we're handling this case. Shouldn't the animal society work with this at all? I don't even know why.
Well, the cat's already dead.
Yeah, he is already
dead.
And
they said they found teeth marks on the cat, and they matched the Bobby's,
dental records. Good. All right, you got the paperwork, right? Hand me the paperwork.
I got it right here.
All right, all right, perfect. All right, great. So we've got the paperwork. Good, good. All right, so we got here. Here's his picture. Yep, that's Bobby.
Yep.
All right, are you ready to go in? Let's go in.
Let's take him out.
Let's talk to him. All right, here we go. All right, Bobby. Listen, this guy over here, he's gonna be the one that's supposed to be bad cop. That's what we like to call it, bad cop. But I'm gonna give you a chance, Bobby. I'm gonna give you a chance to, right here and now, to say that you're guilty. So what is it gonna be, Bobby? Are you gonna take the easy route or the hard route? I don't know, Scott. Looks like he's
trying to be tough.
He's trying to be a tough guy over here.
After 17 years in the 11th grade,
he's
trying to be tough.
17 years. I don't understand.
Bobby, I know you're 32, but listen.
Yeah, well, you're not fooling anybody.
You're not going to make this happen. You're not...
Hey, Scott, tell him how it is.
You're not going to pull a fast one on us.
Not on us.
We've seen all kinds of stuff.
We've been in the school administrating business for years.
Years.
Before you were in diapers, which was apparently 30 years ago.
Well, he's determined to cause ruckus.
All
Bobby,
right.
I think that's all you're good for, isn't it?
All right, listen here, Bobby. I'm going to give you the count of three. And then Scott here, he's going to lay one on you. All right, one, two. All right, that's it. That's it. Scott, tell him what you're going to do. Tell him what you're going to... He's going to torture you. Tell him what you're going
to
do.
All right, Bobby. You know, we gave you a shot. We tried to let you have a little bit of control here.
Yeah, I can't hold Scott back now.
But it turns out that that's not going to work.
All right, tell him about the rubber ducky.
This rubber ducky right here.
Uh-huh.
This represents you in this situation. Looks like you. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest.
Let's be honest. He's got
talks like you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's silent, just like you've been this entire time.
Not one word.
Unbelievable.
I'm ashamed.
You know what? You're going to stand over there in a corner. We're going to pelt you with this rubber ducky.
Until you talk.
I got a whole bag of these things. Hey, I went on eBay just for this.
I think I might have some rubber duckies in my pocket to myself. I always keep a spare one. So not only do we have a whole bag of rubber duckies.
We got spare rubber duckies.
Spare rubber duckies. You never know where rubber duckies are going to come out of.
You never know.
You never know. I don't think he's saying anything.
I found a rubber ducky behind your ear.
I
used to be a magician, Bobby. Do you know what that means?
I know exactly what that means, Bobby. Listen, Bobby. You need to understand that we are full of skills.
Just remember that line from Taken. we have a special set of skills.
Exactly.
And we're going to find you. And I'm paraphrasing Liam Neeson, even though he doesn't deserve it. But you don't deserve it either.
Exactly.
I bet you've never even seen the movie, have you?
I'll tell you what. This is what we should probably do. How about we just turn the TV on, we leave the movie Taken on repeat. But not the first Taken. Taken 3.
Yes.
Yes.
He has to watch Taken 3. Enough.
And then we'll leave the rubber duckies just staring at him.
All around him.
All right. So we'll pop in this VHS because we don't have anything else but a VHS player.
Well, you know, we have a limited budget at this school.
This school is still stuck in the 90s. But what are we going to do?
Yeah. Saved by the Bell is still coming on our...
All right. Let's put the... You got the tape? Here's the tape.
I got it.
All right.
Put it in.
Okay. Here we go. Popping it in. This is your last chance, Bobby. He's not saying anything.
You want to be stuck with Taken 3?
Taken 3. It's Taken 3 and the rubber duckies.
The second one was horrible. The third one, I can't even put words. I can put it in my Sanskrit words on a tablet. That's the only way I can describe
it. I can't even find a Rotten Tomato online for it.
It doesn't even exist.
Yeah, there's just one rubber ducky for this guy. All right. Let's go, man. We'll just leave him here. Keep it on repeat. Is there a repeat button for the VHS tape?
Oh, there's a repeat button.
There will be now.
With this Panasonic VHS 247X, there's definitely a repeat button on this thing.
I can't believe we found that VHS for the school.
I'm telling
it's
you.
Vintage.
Goodwill has everything.
Goodwill does have everything.
But all Bobby, right. You'll never know.
You'll never know, Bobby. All right, let's go, Scott.
We're out of here.
That was fun, Scott. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Szymanski. Where's the clapping track? There it is. Congratulations. Well done, Scott. I'm impressed. You played a good bad cop. We were going to talk about good cop, bad cop before we went in. I totally forgot.
But then you revealed our plan to Bobby.
He kind of knew.
And he knew.
That's why he didn't say anything.
I guess in those 32 years.
I guess that's why I'm the good cop. You're the bad cop.
You're too honest.
Too honest.
You're too honest, Johnson. You're too honest.
They called me Honest Johnson back in high school. Now we know why.
I hope that's the reason why. There could be other reasons why you're called Honest Johnson.
So, Scott, something we do on the show here, it's another section of our show.
Okay.
You get to answer questions from our last guest. I can't help but get up and dance every time I hear that song.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. You're very lanky being able to get up and get out that quick.
I just run around the room, start dancing, got my rubber duckies.
Yeah, you did a half cartwheel.
Yeah.
Looked like you pulled something on it, but...
Well, no, you know, I learned that from Liam Neeson.
Oh, well, I mean, if you learn from Liam, then it's got to be true.
So our last guest, ladies and gentlemen, his name was Ketuan. Have you heard of Ketuan?
Yeah, I've met him. I went to a concert with him.
You know, you did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes to a lot of events, concerts. You know, he actually released a new album recently. We talked about that.
I didn't know he made music.
He does. Not only does he make music, but he is music in many ways.
He's the physical embodiment.
Exactly.
So impressive.
He had a few questions for you. He didn't know it was you, though. So this is that's the exciting part about the show.
Awesome.
All right, so here's question number one. You ready?
Yes.
Let's say that you have an orange, right?
Okay.
And you don't really have any nails on your hand.
Right.
Right? You want this orange really bad, but there's no knives and you don't have any nails. How are you going to open that orange?
And there's your question.
No nails, no knives.
Yeah, but you have an orange.
How am I going to get into that orange?
How? That's the question.
The next... sharpest thing that I can think of are my teeth and my mind.
And your mind.
But that doesn't cut very well.
I think it's been cutting into my mind recently.
I would be biting into that orange, eating the rind and all. You know, I've actually eaten the orange rind before.
Really?
Yeah. It was a dare back in... 64? Elementary school. Yeah,
1964.
Yeah. 1964, back in the good old days.
Good old days.
For some people.
What car did you own at that time?
Well, seeing as I was in elementary school, it was this hot rod matchbox car.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
1964.
It was sexy. It was really nice. It was bright red.
Getting all the ladies.
Oh, yeah. All the ladies who like matchbox.
And guys who eat oranges.
Yes. I don't recommend eating the rind.
Yeah,
it's a little bitter.
So you would do that if you didn't have the nails to get into it.
I'd bite into it, absolutely, like an apple.
Wow.
Absolutely. The skin is supposed to protect it, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's never met my canine teeth.
And your beard isn't sharp enough to get into that.
My beard is sharp enough to cut slices of paper, but fruit is its only weakness.
All right, well, here's question number two. That's a very good answer.
If you had the ability to teleport right now,
yeah,
like if I was just like, hey, you can teleport now,
right?
Where would you go?
Right.
Why would you go there? And how do you plan on getting back? Because you can only teleport once.
Where would I go? Why would I go there? And how will I get
back? Four questions in one.
It's three.
Yeah. Well, he also said that you can only teleport once. That's a statement. It's not really a question. So three questions in one.
Where would I go? Do I have to stay within the same time? Can I go forward or backward in time?
I think it's up to you. He didn't specify. Yeah. But you would have to get back because you can only teleport once. So you would have to figure out a way back. So if you went to another time, that would be tough to get back. I don't know if I'd go to another time.
Yeah, I'll stay away from that.
For that reason.
I think it's complicated.
It does.
And you don't know what's there.
To go find Doc.
Doc.
Get Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's even there.
I'm not talking about Doc like, what's up, Doc?
No, you're talking about Flux Capacitor Doc.
Exactly.
Back to the Future.
Those were the days.
I would...
I'll just edit this part out.
Okay. Yeah, and then the podcast comes out, and it's like this huge silence. Like, what is this? I thought you were going to edit it out. No, it's good filler.
It's good filler.
Your indecisiveness, it works well. The first place I would want to teleport would be to the top of a mountain.
Yeah.
Like Mount Rainier or Mount Hood or something like that. But
you'd only have to hike back down.
Yeah, but hiking down is the hard part. Hiking up is the fun part. Climbing a mountain is fun.
Yeah.
Descending a mountain is not as
fun. So maybe teleport to the bottom of the mountain after you're up there.
I would climb up a mountain.
Yes.
And then I would teleport myself down.
I like it.
Why would I do it? Because descending sucks.
Yep.
When you're climbing a mountain after you're tired. You got an alpine start. Woke up at 2 a.m. Started going. Got to the top probably around 11.
Yeah.
Noon.
Yeah.
And you're already tired.
That's a very good point.
Descending, it's more dangerous. That's where most people die on mountain climbing. That's a fun fact of the day.
Yeah.
It's like 80 to 90% of people who die on the descent.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's a lot of deaths, but
yeah, there's a fair amount.
90% of them at least.
Hundreds of people a year.
Wow. Hundreds of people die hiking down a mountain.
Yeah. Well, when you're climbing a mountain, when you're doing mountaineering.
Ooh.
So like Everest, K2, Mount Hood, Mount Rainier, Mount Shasta.
Hey, we're risk takers though.
You know it.
We'll keep climbing and descending.
And so that's what I would do. I would hike up a mountain, and when I got to the top and took my panorama photos and proved that I was there, I would, you know what I would do? I would teleport down to the Flying Biscuit.
Oh, the restaurant.
Yes.
It's a good restaurant.
I would teleport to the Flying Biscuit.
Get some tasty biscuits in your belly.
I would already be eating.
Oh, gosh, that's awesome. Good plan.
Oh, yeah.
Good plan.
Perfect.
All right. Well, then, question number three. Here we go.
If you could pick a movie to be in, like you could be a character
in a movie.
This movie. Mine would be Sandlot.
Okay.
I absolutely love Sandlot. I would love to be a character in the Sandlot. But if you wanted to be a character in a specific movie, which movie would that be, and why do you want to be in it?
See, I don't watch a lot of movies.
Yeah, but you've seen a movie.
I have seen.
And you've seen movie trailers.
I have.
So if you can be a character, that's the question, in one of those movies.
Character. Made up. I don't have to take over another character.
And you could take his answer. Sandlot. You've probably seen Sandlot.
I don't want to be in Sandlot.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Not unless I get a hat as big as that main character with the bill
that
that's
was a
2 feet
hat.
Long. That's some sun protection if I've ever seen it.
Have you ever seen is when he's faking drowning?
Oh, yeah.
For the sole reason to get a kiss from his... What was it? The
lifeguard?
The lifeguard, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
He just sinks
to
the
bottom.
It's
a long movie. It was like 2 hours.
That's not... I mean, that's the normal length of a movie.
Not these days, man.
Yeah.
Did you see Superman? No. Wait, that was a pretty long movie, wasn't it? It was like 3 hours.
There's a lot of movies now that are like 90 minutes.
That's true.
I think Mad Max was pretty short.
Was it really?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
I saw it.
Oh.
Is it dense?
I heard it was really good.
We were in tents watching it, and it was intense.
You were in tents watching it?
Mm-hmm.
Why were you watching it in a tent?
Well, we wanted to make sure we could say it was intense either way.
So you set up a tent in AMC.
And watched it. That's cool. They didn't mind. You know, we're regulars there.
Yeah. I guess you were blocking the handicap.
Yeah. We call ourselves the intense crowd.
The intense moviegoer.
The intense moviegoer.
Are you dedicated? No. I'm intense.
No, I'm intense.
Well, okay. So my favorite movie is a movie called Bean Jeep, which is a Korean movie. It means three iron.
So would you be a character in that movie if you could?
I could be the main character.
Yeah.
He rides a motorcycle, which...
All right, I can see that.
Instant cool factor.
Definitely.
The interesting thing about the movie is the two main characters never speak the entire movie. Because, so you
Are
have
they always
to,
avoiding each other?
No. They just never... It's not that they don't speak to each other. They don't speak at all.
Really?
So you have to interpret what they're thinking and what they do and why they're doing it based solely on body language and the way they look at people or things.
Yeah.
And you have to interpret how they feel that way. So it's a more intimate way of knowing that person.
Sure,
you have to pay
sure.
more attention to who they are because you don't hear voice inflection. You don't see a lot of emotion. And it's with
Very
them.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So you'd really be that one of those main characters.
Yeah.
Nice.
I would be probably the guy. I could be the girl.
I'd watch that.
I believe it. I believe it. You would film it and sell it. And you link it
I
on
think
the
I'd
podcast.
Make a, I would. I'd make a lot of money. Very good. That's a good answer. Now, Scott, this is the best part of the show. You get to ask three questions of your own for the next guest. Whom or who? Whom?
Whom?
Whom
you use with her and him. Who you
there
use
you
with he and she.
So whom you don't know who they are.
Right.
I'm using that right, right?
You don't know who he is, so you don't know who will be the next guest.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say you don't know who him is.
I don't.
So you wouldn't use whom.
So who... We don't know who the next guest is, so what are your questions for the next guest?
So my questions are a little bit different than the previous questions.
Good.
They're less hypothetical.
All right.
And they're more of questions that I would want to ask them directly.
I'm kind
of
curious.
To learn more about them.
I want to know. What are these questions? What is question number one?
What is a time in your life that you felt very vulnerable, and how did you embrace or retract from that vulnerability, and why?
Good question. There's been many times I've been vulnerable, and I have overcome those moments, and here I am today.
Vulnerability is an important part of life.
It is. All right, so what's your question number two for the next guest?
Question number two. If there was one lie you could undo and instead tell the truth, what would it be?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah.
It'd probably be, mine would probably be, Scott, the milk is not sour.
That one time I went to the hospital.
Yeah. Sorry about that, buddy.
Yeah. That's what friends are for.
The milk was sour. Yeah. If I could take it back, I'd let you know it was sour.
Such
I know
a nice
you really,
guy.
You really, I really wanted you to have those Fruit Loops. You seemed really hungry.
I was desperate.
And you asked me, is the milk sour? And I'm like, no, it's not. But it was. And I was lying. Sorry about that, buddy.
Unbelievable. Hey, that's okay. This is recording, so this will hold up in court as
good.
Evidence.
Oh, good grief. Question number three.
Question number three. What is one question you would be interested to ask a stranger on first meeting them?
Oh.
One question on the street.
Ooh.
You meet them. What would you ask them?
Good question.
First thing.
That's number three. Wow. Anybody, no, they can just be anybody on the street.
Anyone that you've never met before.
That's a good question.
You could be at a bus stop. You could be...
I like how you turned it around. What is a question? Your question is, what is a question that you would ask anybody?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're asking, I wonder if their answer will be, what is something you would ask somebody on a boat or something like that? And it just goes on and on. And then every
is a constant question.
It's a constant question. It's a never-ending question.
It's a pay it forward Kevin question. Spacey question.
Love it.
Question string.
Well, Scott, thank you for being on the show today. Before you leave, though, before you get up and go.
Out of my own house.
Sit back down.
And leave you here.
And leave me here. I have a question for you.
Yes.
And this is something that we do for everybody on the show, and that is, it's the section of the show where we ask you what your favorite place is.
What is your favorite place? Where you go? What do you like? What is your favorite place? Where you go? What do you like? Your favorite place.
So everybody who is new to this show, this is the section where I ask Scott, what is a favorite place that you like to hang out in Atlanta, in Georgia, that locals can listen in and hear and say, hey, I'm going to try that. Because, you know, not the typical, like, place that you go, like, the aquarium. Everybody knows about CNN. Like, you know, some hot spot that you like to hang out and somebody might learn about.
I really like hanging out in my bedroom.
Now, the question is, do you want people to come join you in your bedroom?
Absolutely. We could have a party.
A nice little party.
But besides my
besides
bedroom,
your bedroom.
The place that I would recommend
people
try is Highland Bakery.
Oh, it's a food place. Gosh,
yes.
I love food.
If you've never been.
And I love bakeries. And I love Highland.
It's the perfect combination.
It's the perfect combination.
You.
Yes. Okay.
They have wonderful breakfast food.
Good.
They're always packed. So getting there early is essential.
Okay, so hint, tip, get there early.
Yes.
Stand in line early. So before they open type of thing?
You could. I'm not sure what time they open. I usually go probably around
6 a.m.
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
And it's usually on a weekend, which is when everyone else gets to go. So
yeah, because it's a nice late breakfast. It's good.
Right. And if you can go during the week, it's probably less busy.
Yeah.
But wonderful food, decent prices.
Good.
You know, maybe
good people. Nice people.
Nine.
Scott's there.
Yeah, I'll be there.
At 10 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah, you just come
if you
find
me. You want to creep out.
Come find me, and I'll tell you, no, you cannot sit at my table.
Please
you
leave.
You have to get your own.
I'm reading my book here.
I'm calling the police.
I'm calling police.
So, yeah, check out Highland Bakery.
Definitely. That's awesome. Yeah, I might have to check out the place myself. Well, Scott, thanks for joining us on the show. Thanks for giving your thoughts, and thanks for joining us in the Random Improv and putting you on the spot for all those questions. I know that was a little cumbersome for you.
No, it's all good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for letting me have you on the show.
Good. I'm glad you said on the show after that.
we can keep going. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Greenhouse Podcast. This is episode 15. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe. You could find us on Instagram. And Scott, what's your Instagram or Twitter page that people can follow you at in a non-creepy way?
I have neither of those two.
You don't
things.
Either have. So if this is your moment, if you have a social network or something that somebody could find you online with, this is your moment to shine. If you want to share, if not, you know, that's cool.
You can go to Wikipedia and you can type my name in.
Yeah.
And you can find zero results.
Zero results. Yes. So ladies and gentlemen, you can look up Scott Szymanski on Wikipedia. We'll put the link on our page on our website, which is thegreenhousepodcast.com. And of course, you can see the behind-the-scenes photos and videos on our Instagram page at the Greenhouse Podcast. And of course, our Twitter page is greenhousepod@greenhousepod. Thanks for joining us on the show. We'll see you next time, guys. Scott, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's it.
Everything makes noise in this house. Remember, it was built in 1978. I'm surprised we haven't died from asbestos yet.
I didn't respond.
Oh, so you can hear me. It's like that Family Guy episode, you know what I'm talking about?
The one where they're...
The old men, they're reading the newspaper. They're like in the old gentleman's club, and each one is trying to out-clear the throat of the other one.
Actually, I think I did see that one. That's really funny.